Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Fantasy Sports Today, right here over on Sports Grid. Joe Pizzapia and George Kurtz with you for hour two. And let's get to some of the Wednesday headlines. The Warriors at the Mavericks tonight, an 11-game NBA slate, but certainly the Warriors-Mavericks will be something that everyone will be looking at very closely this evening. Kyrie Irving expected to return tonight to action, so that's good news there. Jimmy Butler out for tonight with an ankle injury. And Aaron Rodgers on Sunday's game, quote, "The plan is to play," end quote. George Kurtz, I got to start here with Aaron Rodgers. Really? The plan's to play? I mean, that could be his plan, but do we really believe Aaron Rodgers that he's going to play? There's no reason for the Packers to play. So if there's no reason for the Packers to play, why in God's name would you put Aaron Rodgers out there at all? So, George, what do you think about this quote here? I mean, why do they even say these kinds of nonsensical things? But we all know what the case is going to be. What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers' comments here?
Well, I think in some ways they want to protect themselves. Oh, I want to play. Oh, no, coach said no. I want to play, though. You know, I want to be out there for my fans, you know, for, once again, the fantasy community. Lord knows we complain about everything when something doesn't go right. And there are people who play week 18, or like I said, points, these are DFS players who want to know here. I think, once again, if you're asking me if I'm the team, if I'm LaFleur, it comes down to this. If you don't play, he's not playing for 3 weeks. That's a long time not to play. I could see him playing a quarter. I'm probably treating this as preseason game two or preseason game three. So in other words, I don't know how LaFleur does this in the preseason. I'm not that delved into it. But if the preseason, if Aaron Rodgers does not play at all in normal preseasons, then he doesn't play here. I'm treating it the same way. If they are a team that plays their starters in the preseason a quarter, you know, week three, a half, whatever it might be, okay, then I'm good with that. Then I would do the same thing here. It really depends on his philosophy. He's got the toe injury. I'm also listening to the medical staff. If the medical staff tells me, listen, you keep him off that for 3 weeks, that'll heal. He'll be good. Then guess what? He ain't playing. I don't care about anything else. He ain't playing. But if they tell me, doesn't matter, he needs surgery, he needs 2 months off, well, then you get, once again, you're back to the preseason schedule. If they tell me he can't do any more damage to it, it doesn't matter, then I'm fine. Once again, I'm good with that. But if they tell me he gets stepped on, that could be the end of the season. And he did get stepped on, what, 2 games ago? You saw him really grimacing in pain there. Once again, I'm worried about the playoffs. Packers have as good a chance as anybody to go to the Super Bowl this year. As anybody. I don't know if anybody can beat that team in Green Bay right now. So, once again, I got to do what's best for me, not what's best for Aaron, not what's best for the fans, what's best for the team. In my mind, Joe, I play him a quarter at most. At most, I play him a quarter. And by the way, if he takes one hit, he might play one play and that's it. Goodbye. Because, listen, if you're the coach of the Packers, Joe, you play Aaron Rodgers, you're in the same situation, and he gets hurt, good luck, Joe. Good luck explaining that, your decision. I don't care who told you. You're the ones who'll be out front explaining to everybody why you played Aaron Rodgers, and now Jordan Love is playing in the playoffs.
You know, you bring up a fascinating point, too, because if you look historically at what's gone on in recent years when the guys have not played at all, and then they have that long layoff. Like you said, you know, you don't play all this week. All you have the bye week and then basically not another game until that third week. Those guys have come out rusty and it's not been good. It's been actually a detriment to most of these guys. And it's one of those things I think Tom Brady kind of recognizes, and that's why Tom Brady historically has always played in those games. So you bring up a great point, but on the flip side of that, you also bring up the toe injury. So what's more important? Is it more important to have the most healthy Aaron Rodgers you possibly can, or the less rusty Aaron Rodgers you possibly can? It certainly begs the question, because he's played relatively well throughout having this injury. So what do you think is actually more important, the health or the rust factor?
Yeah, I think of the normal factors that if we take the toe out, I think you play him a half, at least a half. I don't want my guy going 3 weeks without playing. That's a long time. But it's a toe that changes my thinking here, because you could see in the games, he's not running as much as he used to. He does grimace at times when he's out. Can he plant on? That's why he won't get a shot in it, by the way. He says he can't get a shot to alleviate the pain because he can't feel his foot plant, which makes perfect sense, by the way. Hey, listen, Rodgers might be nuts, but he's right in this situation. I think you talk to Aaron, see what he wants to do, what he is feeling is best. And I think if you really want to know, like I said, look at what the Packers do in preseason under LaFleur. If they don't play him in preseason, well, then you know he's probably not playing. But if they do, and I think they do offhand, by the way, I think he does play some in preseason, then I would expect him to go a quarter, a half. And I think it comes in is the Lions. Are they a great pass rush team? No. So they may not touch Rodgers anyway.
I will say this. I expect Jordan Love to play a majority of this football game at the very least. And that means that I'm really interested in the Detroit Lions cheap defense on FanDuel this week. Just throw that out there, boys and girls. It's cheap. They compete under Dan Campbell historically. All right. So we already had a little water on my Joe Burrow MVP. We talked about Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk about some other guys potentially too, because there's certainly other options out there. So we're going to try to dissect those when we come back. We're also going to talk about some of the other potential candidates for coach of the year, for defensive player of the year, also for rookie of the year. Maybe that's not a slam dunk just because Ja'Marr Chase was so good last week. Also, Micah Parsons just testing positive too. So he will be unavailable for the Dallas Cowboys game. This makes me very sad, George, as I told you at the break, because I thought he had a real shot at defensive player of the year. Maybe he still does. We'll talk about that one as well. A lot to break down still, but Micah Parsons has been a revelation for that Dallas Cowboys defense. So without him this Sunday, certainly a lesser defense that they're going to throw out there. But the Cowboys defense has been the thing that's carried them these last few weeks, not the juggernaut offense that we all expected to be the case. So a different set of circumstances for George's Cowboys. And boy, oh boy, George, that rotating helmet of the Cowboys, just scary, this entire show. We'll be right back right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today, everybody. We were talking about the awards for the NFL and where things are stacking up as we head into Week 18. And we talked, obviously, about Aaron Rodgers still being the favorite for that award. And typically, it always does go to a quarterback. And we talked about maybe the dark horse of Joe Burrow. But I have a fascinating question for you, George Kurtz. And that's Tom Brady kind of sits in the middle, right? Tom Brady's there at number two. He's going to have 5,000 yards passing, which is stunning. To think that a guy of his age is going to have 5,000 yards passing in his season. I don't care how many weeks it is. It's still just an incredible achievement. And then you have the incident from last week. And Antonio Brown was his guy that he kind of brought into this organization. And now he has got a chance to kind of be a leader here and continue to fix the situation as best we can, get everybody back on the same page. You saw he showed up in the second half of that game against the Jets, and it did go eventually the way we all planned. But here's the question. Did the incident last week cost Tom Brady an MVP award? Because part of that leadership is also you allow this guy to shop for the groceries. Is he allowed also to be responsible for when the milk goes bad?
Wow. Good analogy there. Bill Parcells fan. I'm not going to say it cost him the award, but I think it cost him a shot at it. All right. So maybe that's the same thing depending on semantics there. I think it was going to be Aaron Rodgers, or it's going to be Aaron Rodgers anyway. You want to argue it should be Cooper Kupp for the season he's having or Jonathan Taylor? Okay, but as your opening said, it's a quarterback award. They always win it, unless you set records. If Cooper Kupp sets the record, by the way, this is a different conversation next week. if he does set that record, because I think that's what a non-quarterback has to do to win the award. Now, you said it 100% correct. The reason why Antonio Brown was on the team was because of Tom Brady. He stumped for him, and I guess he got ownership to go for it, because we know Bruce Arians, he looks like a complete idiot out of this, but he didn't want Antonio Brown. All right, he looks like a fool out of this, because Bruce Arians said before they signed Brown, I will never sign that player. And then Tom says, I want him. All right, you got him. What happened? Oh, one mistake and he's gone. Oh, yeah, the vaccination thing. Tom still wants him. You're on the team. I'm sure losing Godwin and Evans being hurt also helped that situation. So, as I said, Arians looks foolish here. Tom looks foolish as well. I don't know why he was stumping for him so much, for a guy who said problems, want problems, want problems. So I think you're right, though. I think any chance that Tom had at the award, I don't think he was going to win it anyway, but any chance he had is gone because of Brown.
Yeah, it's also, I kind of wonder too, you know, Aaron Rodgers won it last year. It is a media award, as you mentioned already, so it's about perspective. Now, Aaron Rodgers having won last year, Aaron Rodgers being disingenuous with the media at the very least regarding his status.
He lied.
So here's the question. He did, but I mean, here's the question. Is there media fatigue when it comes to Aaron Rodgers? Is the media looking for somebody else to give this award to if they can?
It's an interesting thought there, because he did lie to the media. And we know the media holds grudges. We've seen this in other sports, baseball, certain players don't get to the Hall of Fame.
Well, certainly not the baseball media, George. They never hold grudges, right?
They don't like you if you don't do so. I mean, so it's an interesting point there. I mean, it is, because Rodgers, he lied to the media, all right? He lied about his vaccination status. So certainly use some lawyer speak there at the very least, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. So, yeah, but that's why I think the Cooper Kupp thing is interesting. Or if Taylor goes for 300 yards, once again, it would be interesting because the Brady situation with Brown and Rodgers lied here. I can see them holding it against them. I can. I definitely can, because I think these guys do hold grudges and they get angry about this stuff. The only difference is the Rodgers thing happened, a couple of months ago. You know, the Brady thing is more recent. Maybe they forgive for that. But like I said, I want to see what happens, Joe, if Kupp or Taylor sets a record. Then I think they have a much better chance, mainly because of what's gone on, not on the field, but off the field with Brady and Rodgers.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a very interesting debate. Let's debate Rookie of the Year for a second, too, because Ja'Marr Chase right now is the favorite. And certainly from a fantasy standpoint, he's the fantasy Rookie of the Year because he's a wide receiver and he makes that impact. But Mac Jones is a quarterback. And we all know the responsibilities of being a quarterback far outweigh that of being a wide receiver. So do you think that to a certain degree, Mac Jones isn't getting enough respect for what he's doing and Ja'Marr Chase is getting too much respect for this recent enormous game that won everybody a lot of fantasy championships, including me? But at the same time, being a quarterback is a much higher curve to grade on, is it not?
Oh, it certainly is. That's why quarterbacks win these awards. Rookie quarterback having a good season is – It's more commonplace now than it used to be when you and I were growing up, right? When quarterbacks didn't even play the first couple of years, right? They always bench because you need to learn the system and all this other stuff, which it's so complicated. So credit to Mac Jones for what he's done here. That being said, he's going to be, demerited because, well, Belichick's protecting you. McDaniels is protecting you. Defense has been great. They're not asking you to do much. For the most part, that's true. There have been games where they have asked him to do more. And by the way, this might not be a Mac Jones problem. It might be a Belichick problem where Mac Jones could do more if they wanted him or let him do more, but they haven't wanted him to. Really, you saw him open up again in the Cowboy game a little bit, right? They had to score points, so they let him play, and they did. But even in that game, I thought the Patriots win that game if Belichick goes for it on fourth down a couple of times. He kept punting the ball away to the Cowboys, and he's done that in other games too. Once again, old-time coach, still 4th-and-3, I punt the ball. That sort of thing doesn't catch up to the analytics of today's game. That being said, I do think Chase is going to win this, and I think they have it right for the season he's having here, which, once again, is one for the ages there, especially for a rookie. Remember, he couldn't see the ball in preseason because it didn't have the stripes on it. That's a first for me as far as hearing somebody say that. But he's come a long way here, so I think they got the right person here. I would vote for Chase as well. And once again, what have you done for me lately? You already said it. Monster gains from Chase. Monster. I think that carries him to the award here.
I personally vote for Mac Jones, and it's not because I'm a Patriot guy. It's because I think being a quarterback is a lot tougher. And I remember the games where Chase didn't show up just as much as the ones that he has in a big way. Let's talk about Coach of the Year for a second, too. I know it's not a fantasy topic, but you know, you mentioned Belichick. I mean, with a rookie quarterback, as you said, it's not a lot of times where you take a rookie quarterback get to the playoffs here. I mean, you're living in the shadow of Tom Brady, and they've been able to do that. I mean, he was the buzz for that award for months and months. Now Zach Taylor is the darling. LaFleur's in that conversation. I think Mike Vrabel certainly deserves a lot of credit, too, for keeping the Titans on track despite all of these injuries in such a difficult situation. So if you had a vote, would it be Belichick? Would it be Frank Reich? Taylor, LaFleur, Vrabel? Like, if you had one vote, who would that person be for Coach of the Year in your mind?
Well, you named all the guys, right? I mean, I think Belichick, for a while, it was Belichick when they were winning the division. If they would have won the AFC East, I think it was, I would have voted for him in a landslide. Couldn't believe they could do that with the weapons they have on offense. They're still going to make the playoffs. So, like I said, my demeriting him for not winning the division is probably a little silly here. It's not going to be Frank Reich, because I thought they'd be a good team anyway. And you play it, you know, you got the Texans and Jaguars in your division. Not all that impressed. Mm. And I don't think Tennessee's a great team, which brings me to Vrabel. The fact that you're going to win this division, maybe be the number one seed, and Derrick Henry was out most of the season. Julio Jones has been a bust. A.J. Brown's been down. Tannehill hasn't played well. I know, once again, I know you got the Texans and Jaguars there, but almost any division we look at, we're going to be able to say, oh, this guy had that, this guy has that. I think what Philadelphia's done, Sirianni, that's been pretty good too, but once again, not the best division there with Washington and the New York Giants there. LaFleur is 39-9 as a head coach.
Well, he's also got a franchise quarterback. And when you know, got God. I can't wait to see what Mike Tomlin does without Ben Roethlisberger for once in his career. I mean, Mike Tomlin's walked in and had Ben Roethlisberger from day one. It's very difficult when you have to turn things over, which is why I think what Belichick's done has been so impressive. You turned it over. All right, real quick, last one. Comeback player of the year. It seemed like Dak was the lock going into the season. I know I bet it, and certainly it became a big negative for a while in terms of the betting world. It went way into the minus column. Now all of a sudden it's coming back up, and Joe Burrow's getting a lot of publicity. Burrow's not playing this week. If Dak has a bad game, could that cost him this award?
Oh, I think it may have already have. Dak has played horrible for the second half of the season. I think he's lost confidence. I think it's all mental in his head. I don't think he wants to be hit for whatever reason. He's playing. You watch a play, he's not playing well. He's so everything's short. Everything is short. Where his play calling, he's not even looking into the secondary. I think it's Joe Burrow now. Dak has already missed the game. Burrow will miss the game, so that evens out. I think it's Burrow.
All right. When George and I come back, we're going to talk a little dynasty football here, ask some questions, because it's never too soon to start looking to 2022. And I know a lot of you who play Dynasty have a lot of these players. We're going to chat about their real values heading into next season. So stick around for Sports Grid, more fantasy sports today, right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're all very lucky that you got stuck with me today, because Craig Mish, once the season is over, the very next minute, he's on to baseball. Not me. I'm thinking about 2022 NFL. I'm thinking about dynasty leagues. I'm thinking about the draft. So we get to talk a little dynasty here with you and some of these players that we're going to talk about their value going forward. Some of these guys have been hurt last year. What are we going to do with those? But I mean, if you play in dynasty leagues, George, these conversations never stop. You're constantly evaluating your team. The day the playoffs end is the day that you start looking ahead. Am I right, George?
Absolutely. And I play in two dynasty leagues. One's been going on, I think, for 10, 15 years now. And I'm in that bad place in that league, Joe, because I am not really a contender, but I'm not a bad team either. I'm stuck in the middle. I'm like a, you know, what do we play? 14 weeks now, I'm like an 8-16 when I'm always on the cusp there. So I probably, and I'm going to believe that's not where you want to be. Even the reality, you either want to be a contender or you want to be a dropping so you get the high draft picks here. So I got to make some decisions there. Do I want to find, am I going to go for broke and start really selling some draft picks, selling some players and really getting some high-end players? Or do I do the other way and start selling out and to get those higher draft picks? So tough place to be.
Well, we might have to break down your roster if we're here tomorrow. That might be a whole segment. We'll try to help you out with that. Maybe that'll help some other people. Let's get to a dynasty question here. And number one here is Ja'Marr Chase. Is the second-year player you want the most on your dynasty team? Now, when you're building dynasty teams, I always tell people, look at quarterbacks, even if it's not super flex. And a lot of dynasty leagues are super flex nowadays, which is good, which is what you should be doing anyway. Because, of course, the quarterback position is the most important thing in fantasy football. So why shouldn't it be, you know, in real football, same thing as fantasy. But again, that's a segment for another show. But typically speaking, you know, those running backs have a shelf life, 3 years, somewhere around there. I mean, we all just had a conversation in the off segment about Ezekiel Elliott and that imminent decline that we all saw coming. And then, you know, here it is. Eventually it happens. But wide receivers, you look at Devontae Adams, you look at some of these other elite wide receivers over the years, they've had Antonio Brown and his run. Say what you will about Antonio Brown. There was a 4 or 5 year run there where Antonio Brown was fantasy gold. Would you take Ja'Marr Chase first overall? I'll even ask you that question too, George, because if you are approaching a dynasty startup, is Taylor just as easy as that, the consensus one, you start with Jonathan Taylor? Or would you start with Ja'Marr Chase because of the position he plays?
You know, it's a question there. 3 years ago, I would have thought you, Joe, what are you smoking, buddy? You know, we're taking the running back. There's no doubt, right? We're taking the running back. But this is, we keep going. I think you said about Ezekiel Elliott. Why is he number six in running backs? Because everybody else got hurt, right? And that's, This is every year now with all these running backs. They keep getting hurt, and it's frustrating. You need to be lucky now to get the right running back. CMC's gone first overall the last couple of years, keeps getting hurt, can't take him anymore. We love Derrick Henry, hurt, right? It's just immensely frustrating. The wide receivers are safer. And we all know the NFL is a passing league. Right? They want you to throw the ball 40-plus times a game. That's what they want. They want those 80-yard touchdown highlights. The big plays by Ja'Marr Chase we saw last week against Kansas City, those are fun to watch over and over again, right? So I don't know if I would take Ja'Marr Chase, one. I don't think it's a silly question, by the way, because the first question I would have to ask you, where's Aaron Rodgers playing next year? If it's still Green Bay, then I'm still going with Devontae Adams. All right, but if it's not Green Bay, he goes to Denver or whatever he might go, wherever he's going there. I think Ja'Marr Chase is right there because I don't know if I can count on Cooper Kupp having another season like this. I don't know if I can count on that. Ja'Marr Chase in a dynasty league, him and Burrow might be together for the next 10 years. I don't know when that's going to end. So, yeah, I think Chase would be – no, I can't believe I'm saying this for a second-year player. I don't think Chase would be any lower than for me than probably two. You want to go three, I'm not going to argue with you. But I think Chase would be no lower than that. I would want him. I think it's just a safer play. Wide receivers don't get hurt anywhere near as much as running backs.
Well, also, Devontae Adams is older, significantly older than Chase. You've also got Cooper Kupp, who, let's not forget, Cooper Kupp has had some injuries in his career, too. I mean, he's missed significant time in some seasons. Not as big of a body type as some of the other guys we're talking about. Justin Jefferson had an incredible rookie season last year. How much longer is Kirk Cousins going to be the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings? I don't think any of us really know the answer to that question. So Tyreek Hill, up and down, right? He's had half as many wide receiver one games as he has not had wide receiver one games. That's not a great situation either. And Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, they're kind of like the top of that running back tier. Dalvin Cook's been hurt a lot too. I don't think you really put him in that conversation. Look, it's tough. And I think Ja'Marr Chase might be the safest of those picks at the end of the day. Let's talk about some of the running backs here because some of them have been hurt going into the year before it even started. And here's a question. Is Travis Etienne the best injured running back in Dynasty? So you could throw into this conversation, not just Travis Etienne, but you could certainly throw in Cam Akers. You could certainly throw in J.K. Dobbins into that discussion if you want as well. So of all those guys, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Travis Etienne with a fresh start with the Jaguars next year and a better coach, hopefully? Or would you rather have Cam Akers on a better offense, but maybe sharing? Or J.K. Dobbins in that run-first Ravens attack? Of those three guys, who would you rather have?
It's not going to be Etienne. Once again, we don't know what the coaching situation is going to be there next year, who the coach is going to be. I have to think it's going to be a quarterback guru. Right, it has to be because the Jacksonville Jaguars cannot screw this up. Lawrence was everyone's consensus number one pick. He was the best quarterback coming out since Andrew Luck, right? And now they can't let him go by the wayside. So it has to be a quarterback guru there. And even Urban Meyer, what did he say about Etienne? I thought it was a terrible pick in the first place. You don't take a running back in the first round. You just don't do that. But he's going to be his third down guy. He's not a three down back. So, no, I think Etienne might be the last of these three. The problem is, okay, let's say you want to go Akers, who I think does have the most talent. And at least if he does play this Sunday, it also means he's healthy, by the way. So I like that going with Akers there. We don't know when Dobbins is going to be healthy enough to play. But if you go with Akers, you got Daryl Henderson there. I don't think Sony Michel will be there next year. I don't see them paying all three, but who knows? So there's more competition there. You want to go Dobbins, you got the health factor. I'm sure he'll be okay, but you think about it. Well, you got Lamar Jackson stealing touchdowns. You got 18 other running backs that are always there. All right, that's what they believe in. So it's a little bit of a worry, a little bit of a quagmire there in Baltimore. I am probably going Akers. I think that's just the what I feel best about right now. Also, I know with the Rams, with Cooper Kupp, I don't know if Beckham's going to be there next year. We'll see. But teams won't respect the running game as much. They're going to want to cover Kupp. You won't see too many eight-man boxes. So give me Akers for that reason. I would go Akers, Dobbins. I know there's a defenseman. Akers, Dobbins, and then Etienne.
Always stuck in hockey, George Kurtz. Always stuck in hockey. All right, speaking of quagmires, how about the guys in the Pittsburgh Steelers now that Ben Roethlisberger is shipping out? Because now you've got Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, who will not be with the team, is my guess. Najee Harris, who's coming off a fantastic rookie season. Pat Freiermuth, who certainly looked like a really good option. Now, barring bringing in a Deshaun Watson or bringing in a primetime quarterback from some other spot, what do you make of these guys? I mean, to me, Deontay Johnson is the one that just doesn't get enough credit, because Deontay Johnson's been that target guy. I mean, he's been that monster in terms of volume. And you know what? He has done much better this year as opposed to last year with some of those drops. That was everybody was always hammering him about that. But what do you do with these guys, including Najee Harris, if you're downgrading to Mason Rudolph next year or some other retread quarterback potentially? What does this do to the value of all these guys? And do you think this is the perfect time maybe to buy some of these guys now, because the Pittsburgh Steelers are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you imagine they have a plan?
Well, you brought up an interesting thing there, because it is an interesting time to buy. You are hedging, and you're gambling, because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. It's not going to be Mason Rudolph, or not the starting quarterback anyway. They will bring somebody in. Maybe it's they're drafting Pickett. I don't know. They'll bring somebody in. I think Cousins would make some sense with Minnesota. You want to make a trade there. Minnesota might blow it up. Fire Zimmer and move on from Cousins. I can see that happening. Maybe it's Jimmy G. I don't see him being there in San Fran. I don't think I don't see the Rooney's going after Watson and with that PR nightmare. So I don't see that happening. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think they're going to give up what it takes to get him. Russell Wilson, he wants to go to a bigger city, so I don't know if that's going to work. So I think they bring in a lesser guy, once again, the Garoppolo type, and they draft the quarterback. That would be my thinking there. Poor Jimmy G might have to go through this again with someone like Trey Lance. The running back, I'm taking the running back because there's not enough of them to go around. Freiermuth, same thing. Not enough tight ends to go around. So I'm drafting where I normally would there. And by the way, tight ends, for the most part, I don't worry about the quarterback. Once again, big target, close to the line of scrimmage. They're the quarterback's best friend anyway. But I would make some phone calls. See if I can get 70, 75 cents on a dollar for Johnson if someone's worried that it's going to be Rudolph. Yeah. I don't mind taking those chances. I think Smith-Schuster is gone. Claypool, by the way, probably not as excited about. But once again, if someone's giving him away, I'll talk.
You know what? Claypool is another one to me, too. It's the mentality there is not. Deontay Johnson, yes. Freiermuth, yes. And Najee Harris, absolutely. And this might be that time to buy before you get to that February window and you start to have some answers to these questions. All right, let's talk one more here, and it's about quarterback situation. Here's the question, George. You should try and trade for quarterbacks who underperformed during the 2021 season. That would be guys like Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. You could put Tua, maybe even Baker Mayfield in the Superflex. You want to talk about Tua and Baker. I say it's a big yes on Trevor Lawrence. The rest I'm a little suspect on. What are your thoughts about buying Trevor Lawrence or any other quarterback that struggled this year, especially in those super flex formats where quarterback play is so important?
And as you said, by the way, all leagues would be super flex. Love super flex leagues. My favorite by
Me
far.
Me too, baby. Let's go.
I don't see Russell Wilson back in Seattle. Not with Carroll, anyway. One of them's going. New Orleans has been the team that I think makes some sense here. I mean, Mike Thomas, Kamara would like that a lot. I think Russell Wilson probably came back too early from the finger injury. Right, wanted to play for playoff run and all that. He played better last couple of weeks. I think it's finally healing now. So I'm not all that worried about him. If someone wants to trade Russell Wilson to me, I'll take the chance that once again he does bounce back. There's a lot of gamble here because he's up there in age. I don't know what a new team is going to want from him, what his weapons are going to be. But I don't see Russell Wilson going to a bad team, by the way. I just don't see that happening. He's going to go to a team that has weapons to help him out.
I kind of wonder, too, I don't think he's just going to go to any city. I keep feeling like the Giants are a team, they got two first-round picks and a quarterback in Daniel Jones you could trade away for Russell Wilson, kind of remake that organization very quickly if you do something like that. The Giants have not been good these last few years. We'll come back more Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. And if you want to stay up to date with the latest and going on in the sports world, whether it be the lines, the fantasy, or anything regarding sports, make sure you're following us on social media at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV, on Twitter, on Instagram, all kinds of amazing content, great clips, everything you could possibly imagine and more. And I'll tell you what, the way information is flying at us nowadays, it's important to stay connected to Sports Grid all day, every day, 24 hours a day. And you can only do that on our social media channels as well. And we have great people running those also, just producing great clips and great content for you constantly to make all your wagers, make all your bets, and make all the moves that you need to. Like George Kurtz, he likes to make all the moves here and there, sometimes in the darkness, sometimes in the light. But George Kurtz always making moves, even if you don't see him. He's making them, I assure you. Let's play a little game, George. Let's play a little fantasy or reality today, and we'll start with this great question. Jim Harbaugh should return to the NFL. Now, Jim Harbaugh, certainly heading into this season, I think a lot of us felt like he was on the hot seat in Michigan, had not beaten Ohio State. Well, they had a good year, and they beat Ohio State, and they made it to the college playoff. Of course, like every non-SEC team, they get their doors blown off, and it's just what we expect nowadays because it's always cute when those non-SEC teams have good seasons and then they play basically an NFL team and you go, oh, right, that's the true measuring stick. But Harbaugh's done a really good job here of finally getting Michigan at least to this point where they are considered a top program again, realistically. It was kind of a mirage the last few years. I think now, after that big win, some really good recruiting on the defensive side, Jim Harbaugh has really done a good job here, and it feels like he has now set himself in stone. Is this the perfect time, though, for him to jump to the NFL? So fantasy or reality, Jim Harbaugh will use this to go back into the National Football League.
Well, a couple things here. If he does want to go back to the NFL, yeah, he can. I don't think there's any doubt he can. We all know every year, Black Monday in the NFL, it's not a matter if coaches will be fired. It's how many, and generally it's 6+. That's what the average is, 6+. And we can go through all the teams that are going to fire their coaches. Bears are probably going to move on from Nagy. The Broncos are going to move on from Fangio. The Jaguars need a coach now. I don't know if the Raiders are going to go move on from Bisaccia. I don't know if it's fair to move on from Bisaccia right now, especially if he gets them into the playoffs there. But they could move on there, right? That wouldn't be a shock there. Houston from Culley, I think he's probably gone. So you go on and on and on here. The Giants should certainly move on from Joe Judge, especially after that rant last week. That's just silly there. Zimmer could be gone from Minnesota. All right, so they go on and on here about coaches that could be gone. And there's always a surprise or two that we didn't see coming. Wow. You know, Matt Rhule is not going to be in Carolina. Stuff like that can always happen there. So if Jim Harbaugh wants a job in the NFL, he's got it. The question is now the perfect time? I think if I'm Harbaugh, all right, you finally beat Ohio State. That was a huge thing, right? He could never do it. Is your team still going to be good next year? Or, you know, you're going back in with decline now. Do you want to go to the NFL? Maybe you prefer the college game. You know, so to answer your question, do I think it's the perfect time? Assuming that he's got the perfect team he wants to go to in the NFL? Yes, I think so. Because once again, you finally beat him. So you're at that high now. For all you know, you're going to lose to him the next 6 years in a row again. And it's going to go back down here. So, yeah, I think now it would be the perfect time. Assuming, like I said, maybe you want that Denver job. You and I like that Denver job, especially if they can get a top quarterback. The offense is there. So I'll say this is reality. It is the perfect time.
I think it's the perfect time. But I think it's fantasy. I think he's going to stick there. I don't think he wants to deal with the NFL product again in the professional version. You know, when you're a college coach, you have your rule over everything. I mean, you can just basically do whatever you want, and you have complete and utter control, and everybody listens to you. It's not the case in the NFL when the guys are making 10 times more money than the coach. So I don't think it is. But, George, you bring up a great point because a couple of those open spots, you know, in Chicago, you have a rookie quarterback in Justin Fields you can build around. In Jacksonville, you have a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence you can build around. How often is that where you can come into an organization there and get to basically kind of have your way from scratch with theoretically a franchise quarterback? Or like you said, if you just want to win right away, maybe you go in there and you get somebody, you know, into Denver, you get an Aaron Rodgers or something like that over there. That's a fascinating set of circumstances. And as a former NFL quarterback himself, I imagine Harbaugh would find that grooming process of a Fields or a Trevor Lawrence really appealing. I think at the end of the day, he stays in Michigan. I think he likes to be the king of Michigan right now, especially since he is on top of the throne. All right, let's switch gears a little baseball. We haven't talked about baseball at all today on the show, at least. So here you go, George Kurtz. During this lockout, you will sign up for a Major League Baseball Best Ball Fantasy League. Fantasy reality, George.
You know, I'd like to think that, I'll hold off on this, you know, because I don't know what's going to happen, how many games are going to be played. I am that person that thinks I don't think we'll see opening day till May. Yeah, I don't. I think it's going to be a long time between these two sides. I've said it so many times. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Craig Mish is right where they do figure things out by opening day. I just know these two sides want to fight. They don't like each other. They don't trust each other. They really don't. It's sad because they're not even negotiating right now. We're January 5th. All right, they had two negotiating sessions in December, and they talked about nothing hard hitting. It's all minor stuff here. I don't even know if they're going to start talking to each other until February. And you know what? The first key date to me will be February 16th. That's when pitchers and catchers report. If there's nothing close then, I don't see how you're figuring things out by March 1st. If you don't think you get things done by March 1st, then the season's delayed. That being said, as soon as football ends, I'm going to be jonesing for some drafts. I don't think there's any doubt I'll be jonesing for some drafts. So, yes, of course it's reality. It's not a question of one. It's how many will I join? I love best ball leagues because, hey, I can draft it and leave it alone. I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the night until October. I don't even really look all that way. There's nothing I can do. It's a best ball league. There's nothing I can do. I can't make moves. I can't make trades. I can't set my lineup. I just leave it alone. So it's not a question of one. I have no doubt I'm playing at one. It's a question of is there a zero on the back of that? You know, a 10, 15, 20? Because I generally average between 25 and 30 of these things. So, yes, this is absolutely reality. At least one.
25 to 30 best ball MLB drafts? Look at you, George Kurtz. Just complete. As I said, George Kurtz making moves.
February and March. It's boring.
I can understand that. And I kind of agree with your sentiment. These two sides hate each other. And you look at the difference between MLB and the NFL, right? NFL, what, like a year and a half, 2 years before the CBA was up, they had a new deal in place. So they didn't skip a beat, right? It's not like everybody didn't know this was going to happen. It's not like they could have gotten over Zoom calls where there was no baseball last year during COVID when the pandemic was in full swing, that they couldn't have sat around there possibly and all said, okay, let's all get on Zoom calls. And let's have these discussions. And let's kind of take care of the COVID stuff. Let's take care of everything. And let's just get ahead of it for a change. No, they never do. And I'm with George. Yeah, there's going to be a season. My guess is it's delayed just like George. I think May is probably more of a reasonable standpoint, which is so dumb. Makes no sense at all. But alas, that's what Major League Baseball does. But look, for me, this is a reality, not because I'm like George and I get bored, but because from a fantasy sports perspective, it's my job. So I will be doing best ball drafts. I'm sure Fantasy Pros will have me doing a bunch also for our sponsors, places like, you know, all the places that run these best ball drafts. So yeah, I'll be doing them and I'll be sitting there going, boy, I hope I get to see some of these guys play this year. That's probably it for me. Now, I know I wasn't supposed to be here on the show today, which sounds a lot like Dante from Clerks. And if you get that reference, then you're a child of the 90s like me. But this is something that is very important. And I know George has dogs, so we're going to talk about this. Fantasy reality, George. You know the breed of all of your dogs. I think you have one. I don't know how many dogs Davis Maddox has. I don't know what Craig Mish has. I don't even think Craig Mish even talked about dogs ever. I don't think he's got any pets. I think he's got his kids, and that's enough for Craig Mish. I don't think he's got a pet. I think he had fish because he's in Florida, and everybody has fish. It's Florida. They're just, you know, just like the iguanas. They're all over the place. So what about you, George? You know the breed of your dog?
I've had four dogs in my life. First one was a poodle, vicious little freaking thing. Hated that dog. Back then, Joe will remember this. We used to have, you know, your couches used to have an opening underneath where, you know, you could put stuff under, the dog could fit under. And if you walked by barefoot, a damn thing would bite your toes. Hated that dog. Vicious little poodle. Second one was a collie, great dog. Third one was a rescue. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. You know, that looks like the dog they're showing here in the picture is a mini golden doodle offhand. The dog I have now, it's a mutt. She has many. She's considered a Labrador mix. She has a lot of mix, let me tell you. There's some Dalmatian in there, some pit bull in there, American pit bull. And they're a great dog. Love the dog. So, yes, I do know the breeds of my dogs. Would I know the breed automatically of anybody else's dogs? No, it's not all that important. I do want a family dog when I got my dog, you know, to make sure she'd be good with the kids. And boy, is she good with the kids. Listen, the dog's lazy. I gotta tell you, the dog sleeps a lot. Right now, she's upstairs with my wife. My wife works nights, and she's out cold on the other bed with my wife. Out cold. And you walk in, she just looks at you and puts the head right back down. But the greatest thing about the dog, you see the shows I do. Do you ever hear of a dog? No,
I don't.
The dog does not bark. She does not bark. We didn't train her for this. This is how she is. She does not bark. It's when you hear it, it's a woof when she does bark. You never hear her bark. It's great. So anyway, the question, yeah, it's a reality. I know the breed of my dogs. I am not someone who can tell just by looking at somebody. I did know the mini golden doodle thing only because my niece has a mini golden doodle. Looks just like that one, actually. So I'm a dog guy. I love dogs, man's best friend and all. So yes, reality for me, I know the breed of all my dogs.
Well, I do not have dogs. My oldest daughter desperately wants a dog. And my youngest daughter's favorite breed of dog is the golden doodle. But I'm always concerned because I feel like because all I do all day is record podcasts and videos and television and things like that of the dog barking, or, you know, I'm also know that I'm the guy who's going to walk the dog in the snow and in the rain. And, you know, when you split time with your kids too, and they're here half the time, you know, the other half the time, you know, you're going to be the one taking care of the dog. So I don't know, man, as a single parent for two little kids that took care of them from diapers all the way till now they're 9 and almost 12. I don't know, man. I feel like this is my time finally, and I don't want to be chasing after the dog and taking care of the dog and taking the dog to the vet. I got to take the kids to their doctor, and oh my God, I don't know. I just don't think I have it in me, George. And I don't know. I feel like as I get older, I would want a dog because I do like dogs, but I don't know. And I think my kids would then be mad and say, why didn't you get a dog when I was a kid? And now you have a dog. And I'll just say, well, you know, I just figured now I'm alone and you all left me. And that's when you get the dog. Like some other of my friends have gotten over the years. I do say this, George. Every year, and I don't know why, you know, after the parade, the dog show, I love to watch the dog show. Can't get enough of the dog show. I think it's the strangest thing ever. I think it's bizarre. I think it's amazing. I hate those dogs that look like walking mops. You know the dogs I'm talking about? What the hell's going on there with those dogs? I don't understand. They can't see. I don't know how they walk around. Do you watch the dog show, George Kurtz? You're a dog guy. Tell me.
I do not watch the dog. I've seen clips of it. I think it's kind of cruel to the dogs. Those aren't dogs, right?
Cruel to the dogs? Not. I wish someone would take care of me the way someone would take care of these dogs.
I don't know. Let them be a dog. Let them be a dog. I like this. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not watching the show. And I'm not my dog has got the slick fur, so I don't have to get her groomed. No, she does shed a lot. Yeah, that's the only bad thing. She sheds. And it drives my wife crazy. Yeah, yeah, she sheds. But the funny thing about the dog is, my wife never wanted a dog. She was the one who stopped us from getting a dog. A doctor friend of hers talked her into it. And now, guess who's BFF with the dog? Wherever my wife goes, the dog is right behind. I say, she's sleeping with my wife. That dog mopes when my wife goes to work. My wife will leave for work about 6:30. The dog will just mope. You're leaving. Mm. You're leaving.
See, our next door neighbors have a dog, and it's outside all the time. And I tell the kids, this is what you have. You have next door neighbor dog, who is the greatest dog, by the way. Incredibly friendly, playful, all these things. You don't have to walk it. You don't have to feed it. You don't have to pick up after. You don't have to do anything. And you just go play with the dog. It's great. Everybody wins. And you know what the funny part is? That dog, every time it sees me, runs to me. I don't know why. The dog loves me. I don't know, George. Maybe someday I will give in, but I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, let a dog be a dog. I want to be taken care of like those dogs.
Woof, woof.
That's what I'm looking for. We'll be right back. Of course, we're right after this. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Fantasy Sports Day on Sports Grid. I want to thank Greg Sussman for calling the bullpen and me picking up the phone today and coming in and hanging out with you guys for the last 2 hours. That's right. Bring in the Italian righty, the bald guy from the pen, and come host for a couple hours. Also want to thank Brett Levy, as always. Great spending time with my old producer friend and, of course, him carrying NBA. Also want to thank Danny for all the graphics today and Tyler for all of his work behind the scenes. And, of course, my esteemed colleague, George Kurtz. And it's time for a little 60-minute rant from George to close things out.
The bald guy from the pen. Yeah, I'm not going to be throwing any stones there. I'm a little flickily challenged myself here. So actually, I'm not going to do a rant today. Fantasy football is just about over. You know, I do play in a total points league, so we do play on Sunday. But it's sort of like depressing. It's over. You know, I don't have any lineups to change here. Any moves to make? No Fab to worry about here. I can look at the waiver wire. Who's available here? Well, do I make some defensive? I'm playing Joe Pisapia this week. What does he need? You know, to stop him. So it's almost depressing that it's over. You know, I played 11 leagues. I did win two, so I'm not complaining. But it's over, Joe. And I hate when it's over because now no drafts except for the best bowl league in baseball will be next. But no drafts now until really August when it picks up again. So I always get a little depressed now after fantasy football. This is why DFS is so great because that'll be big this weekend.
I agree, my friend. Fantasy football goes quickly as opposed to baseball, which feels like a great idea in April. And then by the time you get to August, you're saying, what have I gotten myself into still? Why am I dealing with the fifth outfielder on the Texas Rangers? But anyway, if you think this past offseason was fun in the NFL, you ain't seen nothing left, because I'll tell you why. There's going to be incredible quarterback movement this offseason. You're going to see big stars, Wilson, Rodgers, maybe some other ones, also retread quarterbacks all over the place, getting second, maybe even third chances. So buckle up, because February is going to be fascinating in the NFL. That'll do it for me, Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids. Enjoy your sports grid for the rest of the day. Break.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.